Realizing high ecstasy, she was able to walk on water. Welcome back. This is Buddhist Books Podcast, episode 310, Padmasambhava, part 22, in which I will continue reading aloud from The Life and Liberation of Padmasambhava by Yeshe Tsogyal. If you would like to start with Padmasambhava Part 1, you can click the playlist right there. You can surf up and down the playlist and pick whichever one you'd like, really. Today we're going to be beginning with Canto number 45. And I haven't peeked ahead, so I'm not sure how long number 45 is. But if it's not too long, then we might also read 46. We'll see how it goes. All right. I hope everybody's doing well today. And so without further ado, let's get to today's reading. Canto 45. Mandhebhadra gives up her life, and King Ashoka is led to the Dharma. Then, on the joint frontiers of Zahur and India, the saint arrived in the land of Kotala to dwell in the cavern of lofty Schist Mountains. There, uncovering the unified precepts, calm ocean of the Dharma, he effected propitiations during 12 human years, while King Nubsarupa provided him with all that was needed. It came about that, in the great ceremony, loud contemptuous laughter, that's the name of the ceremony, apparently. Capital L, capital C, capital L. An uncountable multitude of wild beasts remained day and night with their jaws closed, since there were no corpses. He felt pity for the beasts who were howling with hunger, and, preparing to sacrifice his own body, he entered the ceremony. The beasts circled around him, but found nothing substantial which they could eat. He saw that in 7 days the period of their lives would come to an end, and they would whirl about in the hell without respite. Now, through meditation, Padma discovered that King Arsadarha had been reborn as Mandhebhadra, the daughter of Nubsa. If her flesh were given up as nourishment for the beasts, she would light up heaven and would become a Dakini filled with compassion. To arouse her pity, he stirred up a mongoose in its hole. An animal so wretched in appearance and beset by maladies and mishaps that it was distressing to behold. When Mandhebhadra came to gather kusa grass, she covered the hole with a cut palm frond, and when a breeze sprang up, weighed down the frond with a stone. At this moment, the mongoose was creeping out, and, unintentionally, she hurt it. Taking this accident to heart, the girl began to act in harmony with the Dharma. She shouldered her possessions and went to the lofty Schist Mountains. The victorious one bestowed unction on her and blessed her. Quote, "First give up your body to the animals in the cemetery, and when these wild beasts have acquired human bodies, you will win them over in the region to be converted. After passing through several existences, you will be reborn in the land of snows as King Srongtsen Gampo of the Gnamri lineage. Evoking the Great Compassionate One, your envoy will travel from the barbarian land to India. In the same period, the wild beasts will obtain human birth, some in India, others in the land of Shimhala. Now, because of the causal bond, in the future, when they are in your presence, they will erect 200 temples, abodes of the three jewels, which they will honor with great offerings. In these sanctuaries of adoration, the 11-faced Great Compassionate One will reveal himself for these grand children of the monkey. Utilizing 100 miraculous sacred objects, 16 goddesses will conduct the service. End quote. Thus he spoke, and the girl gave up her ornaments, and having arrived at the cemetery, was devoured by the wild beasts. As day broke, the king appeared with his retinue, sad of heart, for he had had a frightening dream about his daughter. Quote, Mandhibhadra, end quote, he called out. Quote, where have you gone? End quote. And he looked for her on every side. Entering the cemetery, he saw a robe stiff with blood, and a little further on, hair scattered here and there, the remains of a foot, and the outline of a skull. Quote, who has been carried to the cemetery? Who has died? End quote, he asked himself. Quote, may it not be Mandhibhadra? End quote. Then, bathed in tears, he inquired of the victorious one, who replied, quote, it is your daughter. She has been eaten by the wild beasts. End quote. The king at once fell in a swoon. By throwing water over him, the master brought him back to his senses, and the victorious one declared, quote, Mandhibhadra is passing through rebirth. Thereupon, the king and his followers were led to the Dharma, and throughout the country the great vehicle and the great meditation spread. Then the saint decided to reveal himself in the region of the Indian plain. In the town of Kusumapura, King Ashoka ruled over demons. There was a schism in the doctrine, so that the clergy were all at each other's throats. The listeners were split into two sects, the swarm of the younger believers forming the Mahasanghika, and the small group of elders forming the Sthavira. Since then, more than 200 human years had passed. Having put to rout the sounding drums people and the people of the town with lianas, King Ashoka was in his residence. Looking at him in the region to be converted, Padma adopted the form of a bhiksu and went to beg at the royal residence. Quote, seize this man who shows contempt for me, end quote, cried the king. Quote, pour oil in the cauldron, fan underneath it a fire of dry wood, and put in the cauldron this new arrival with his bhiksu airs, end quote. But later, when they looked, a lotus had blossomed in the cauldron, and 2 fathoms high in the air, the bhiksu soared unharmed. King Ashoka was overcome with remorse. Quote, I have acted wrongly toward this man of beggar-like appearance. I have heaped up the worst faults. How can I make amends? End quote. He then summoned the bhikshu, whose name was Indrasena. And Indrasena declared, quote, in 10 million places in Jambudvipa, build 10 million stupas in one night. Feed and give gifts to the disinherited, and then your faults will be pardoned. End quote. Hearing these words, the king thought, quote, while it is easy to give alms to the needy, 10 million stupas will not arise all by themselves in one night. This amounts to saying that my faults are unpardonable. End quote. The bhikshu Indrasena spoke, quote, you are the predestined king of the prophecy. Your wish will be granted if you pray for it under the tree of awakening. End quote. King Ashoka thus journeyed to the Bodhi tree and prayed, quote, if I am that predestined king, in one night, in 10 million places, in Jambudvipa, may these stupas be erected by the genies. End quote. Forthwith, the 10 million stupas were completed, and he aided the poor with victuals, coins, and clothing. To Visali, he brought the plow of the doctrine, and he was celebrated as Ashoka the Just, the provider of food to the disinherited. Of the history unabridged of the lives of the Guru of Udayana, Padmasambhava. This is the 45th canto. King Ashoka led to the law. Sealed oaths. The countries of Baida and Simhala are established in the Dharma. Then, reaching the land of Baida in the south, the saint, as the bhikshu Indrasena, resided in the nine-pointed cage cemetery. Balin, king of that country, a learned healer and astronomer, displaced the Brahmins with the doctors. The king had taken one wife of the first rank and one wife of the second rank, but he favored the son of the first wife. The king taught his son all he knew of the healing arts. Thus the first son acquired profound knowledge of the science of medicine. For one day only did the king teach the younger son. Then the king said, quote, we will compare the knowledge gained by each of you, end quote. The second wife was upset, quote, my son will not obtain the throne, end quote, she said. The younger son said, quote, mother, do not weep, end quote, and he proceeded to the nine-pointed cage cemetery, where he stayed with the bhikshu Indrasena. And studying day and night, without uttering a word, learned the five branches of knowledge. Finally, when he saw the head symptoms, he could diagnose the state of health down to the feet. His mother then asked him, quote, how much do you know? End quote. And he answered that he had attained the highest degree of knowledge. Delighted, she did obeisance to her son. When the time arrived for the qualifying competition, two seats of honor were set up, and the two princes were seated. Quote, "The throne will go to the more learned of the two," end quote, declared the king. First, the son of the first wife expounded on the science of medicine. He knew all 300 topics, and people were amazed. So they said, quote, "There is no need for the other to speak. How can he know what he has never learned? The decision has been reached," end quote. But then the second son expounded on the science of medicine. Gods, nagas, and perfume eaters gathered. In addition to the 300 topics that the father had taught, he recited old sastras of medical science that were almost forgotten. Gods and nagas bowed low and circumambulated him, and the people said, quote, "He knows without ever having learned. It is wonderful," end quote. The father bowed to him, touching his head to the son's feet, and declared that the two princes would share the throne. The younger son said, quote, "Power does not tempt me. I request instead to be allowed to practice religion," end quote. Three times this request was denied, but finally it was granted, and he continued his studies of the Dharma with the bhiksu Indrasena, was ordained, and came to be known by the monastic name of Siddhipala. Then, for the benefit of beings, he composed many works of grammar and dialectics, obtained the efficacy of the secret formulas, and, following many methods, practiced the propitiations. At that time, the abbey of Vikramasila was made a target by Suryasiddha, the Tirthika, who set it on fire, so that most of the books of metaphysics were burned to ashes. The glow from this conflagration reached the Naga kingdom, causing the Naga king Musilinda to fall ill. Since he suffered a great deal and nothing could help him, his Naga followers were distressed and broke out in lamentations. At this point, the Naga king Nanda arrived and said, quote, "If you summon a healer from Jambudvipa, he may be able to cure this dreadful sickness. Otherwise, there is nothing to be done. His life is over," end quote. On hearing this, two Nagas who believed in the Dharma promised to go. They were provided with a number of precious stones to give as homage to the great bhiksu. Vasuki and Dong Kyong utilized magic to reach Jambudvipa in an instant. Bowing their heads and placing their hands together, they greeted the great bhiksu Siddhipala. And in unison, uttering the same words at the same pace, they offered him the precious stones. The bhiksu gave them three supernatural looks. The first of these saved the Naga from his sickness. The second healed the sickness of error. And the third contemplated 100,000 plentitudes. When, in an instant, he had reached Nagaloka, and in the Nagapool Park, all the bhiksus had been assembled. Using remedies of the Naga king, he healed. Using remedies of the Naga kind, he healed the Nagaraja. Out of gratitude, Musilinda gave Siddhipala, together with many jewels, the Prajnaparamita, the mother scripture, and Siddhipala became known as Nagarjuna, first among doctors. Then he of Udayana, Padmasambhava, journeyed to the kingdom of Simhala to dwell in Kijara Cemetery, supported by King Sri Kumara, his patron. At the same time, the abbey of Vikramasila was attacked by the Tirthikas, who burned several monasteries. A short while later, in the Aulic Gardens, a great lotus stalk grew in the middle of a pond, and other flowers opened during the day and closed again at night, but one lotus remained closed even by day. The gardener reported this to the king, who said to him, quote, "Watch it carefully," end quote. When it opened, the king, accompanied by queen and court, went to inspect it, and in the unfolded corolla of the flower, a child of 8 was shining like the fire of Frome. The king consulted the doctor Sumitra, and the doctor said, quote, "Listen, sire, this being is Sakyamitra. In the east of India, he was the son of Sambala, the Brahmin. And before that, he was born as friend of the Sakya. He will vanquish Matrasitra and the Buddhist's enemy, Mahasvara. Invite him to the palace and do him honor," end quote. Now he received initiation, was taught the Dharma, and received the name Aryadeva. The child requested ordination from Padma, but was refused, since he was destined to be initiated into the mysteries by Master Nagarjuna. And Padma dwelled for 200 human years in Baida and Simhala, establishing the Dharma in those countries. Of the History Unabridged, of the Lives of the Guru of Uddiyana, Padmasambhava. This is the 46th canto, the countries of Baida and Simhala, established in the law. Sealed Oaths. Canto 47. The usurpation of the throne of Bengal with the aid of Mandarava. Then, traveling toward the east, the saint reached Bengal, whose Maharaja, Norbu Odin, luminous gem, reigned over the Tirthikas and, not accepting the Dharma, detested and persecuted the Buddhists. The citadel of the palace had 8 entrances. Within the first entrance, 5 daughters of the country's master teachers, young girls of great beauty, displayed many attractions, and dispensed the 5 enjoyments with generous hand. Within one of the middle entrances, 2 maidens predicted the future. Their words were as melodious as the songs of Brahma, and their declarations were as learned as the great Brahma himself. They engaged in conversation whomever crossed the threshold. Outside the innermost entrance were guards endowed with the strength of rakshas. The 5 young squires, armed with many a destructive weapon. Inside, protectors stood as guard. On the outer battlements, there were 1,088 embrasures looking in every direction, and the palace had 6 surrounding walls with moats. The central hall of this magnificent castle was like sun and moon embracing, and the resplendence of the five kinds of jewels filled the interior. The entrance steps were of rare crystal, and in magic mirrors made of gems, every action was reflected. Such was the glorious residence of the Raja Norbu Odin. Though he lived within the palace, his gaze was turned to the outside. On his head he wore a sintamani to appease his appetite for treasures. Yet in the midst of his court of countless tirtikas, this magnificent potentate laid greedy hands on precious stones and other precious things, impoverishing the people and plunging them into misery. Now, Padma set out to subdue this king. He sent Mandarava to a street of the capital city, quote, appear, end quote, he told her, quote, with a cat face, end quote. Now the army's generals were three beings with cat faces. Equipping themselves for war, they put on rough armor, and the 84,000 making up their following held tridents as weapons. With them they carried out assaults and battles. The king's six encircling walls were conquered, his soldiers killed, the five girls with the riches were despoiled, the guardian porters overthrown, and by means of a trapdoor, the stronghold with no means of entry was taken. Holding the king, who in a single moment had been cast in melted bronze, Padma assumed the guise of Samantadhara. The king was transported to the unsurpassed heaven, and in place of the king, the Dharma ruled the kingdom. At this same time, against the abbey of Vikramasila, Hulagu Khan of Persia sent an army marching. 12 monasteries were given over to the flames, and with the scriptures of metaphysics paled, there were no more monasteries. But then the bhiksu Vyakthasila was born, and he propagated in Bengal the 5 laws of Maitreya, the 8 prakaranas, the ultimate sastras composed by the incomparable Vasubandhu, and the doctrine of Padmasambhava. Of the history, unabridged, of the lives of the guru of Udayana, Padmasambhava, this is the 47th canto, the usurpation of the throne of Bengal, sealed oaths. It's a bit like a psychedelic fever dream on the astral plane, but with elements of history in it. I feel like that's not a good place to end today's reading, so I'll read one more. All right. Canto 48. In the plan to convert the region of Udayana, Padma appears as Dombi Haruka. Now, the guru considered what remained to be converted. He met a messenger from Indrabhuti named Golden Gleam Boy. The sight of Mandarava gave this youth a bad impression, quote, "Oh, what distressing times! Between, beneath his monkish air, the guru is an ordinary man, shameless, and though he has a clever way with words, there is something that doesn't add up. Whatever the blackheads choose to think of it, he has abandoned his wife, Basadara, for this woman here, seizing the earliest chance to switch from the one to the other," end quote. And the messenger returns to the land of Odiana. Then the guru undertook to apply his methods to the conversion of Odiana. In the town of Rich, in Rice, in the crab market, he appeared as the son of a Brahmanic couple, and, with a desired end in mind, sought one with seven high births. Now, at Kasarpana, staying in the monastery enclosure, was Seashell Ear, born a Brahmin for the seventh time. The guru bowed to and circumambulated him, for he needed the Brahmin's body. Quote, "What is the purpose of this circumambulation?" End quote. Quote, "I need flesh with seven births in order to aid beings. If your spirit is ready, I demand your body at this very instant. Otherwise, I ask for it at the time of your death." End quote. After reflecting a little, the Brahmin Seashell Ear replied, quote, "For the worldly man, life is dear, but the time of my death will soon take place." End quote. At the end of 5 years, the moment came. And at that very juncture, Padma appeared as Dombi Haruka. When the body had been laid to rest, a crowd of jackals arrived, but the Dombi directed against them the magic glance that paralyzes, and, mounted on a tiger, using an enraged poisonous snake as a crupper, he carried off the body. He put on the bone necklace, took the three-pointed katvanga, and, in the town of Rich in Rice, realized the attainment he desired. The villagers, seeing him, said, quote, "He is surely a fake yogi. He has tranquilized the tiger with wild honey and so bestrode it. And there are signs that the poisonous snake has been treated with musk. Had these things not been done, he could not have carried this out." End quote. There was a tavern keeper, a woman Vinasi, and to her Dombi Haruka went to buy beer. Quote, "How much do you want?" End quote, she asked him. Quote, "All you have," end quote, was his reply. Quote, "I have 500 measures," end quote. Quote, "What is the price? I will pay at sundown," end quote. The bargain was struck, and the businesswoman added, quote, "If you do not pay at the time agreed upon, you will be punished by the law," end quote. As he had no money to pay for the beer, he implanted a mystic dagger to keep the sun high in the sky. And the grass, the trees, the springs, everything dried up. When all the little creatures began to die in the heat, the Raja Sangi Dreg, pride of bronze, called a council. He asked all the people of the country what could be causing the sun to stay in the sky. And finally, Vinasi said, quote, "There is a yogi who came to my place," end quote. At which the people replied in chorus, quote, "A yogi has many means. That is it," end quote. And the Raja went to the guru. Quote, "He who practices yoga should be the benefactor of beings, and not cause them such inconvenience," end quote. Quote, "But I am unable to pay for the beer," end quote, said Dombi. the Raja then promised to pay, and, with the sun free to move, this 7-day mourning came to an end. After this, Dombey resided in the cavern of Kurukula. The tavern keeper, Vinasa, now a believer, loaded beer and food on an elephant and went off to visit him, and Dombey Haruka explained the precepts to her. Realizing high ecstasy, she was able to walk on water, and, like a bird, freely traverse the pure sky. Then, a little while later, King Indrabhuti went for a walk in a cemetery. A poisonous snake struck him, and he was gravely afflicted. Doctors and Brahmins, who were the doctors in the formulas, examined him, and all declared, quote, water from the depths of the sea will be needed, end quote. Thus, one with winged feet was sent to bring the water. As the courier was returning, at the bend of the road, he met the evil Naga, who had attacked the king, disguised as a crying child. Quote, what is wrong? End quote, asked the water bearer. Quote, Indrabhuti is dead, end quote, replied the child. At this, the courier poured out the water and returned to the palace, weeping. But the king was not dead, and they asked, quote, where is the water? End quote. Quote, poured out, lost, the king is dead, quote, end quote. Quote, so I am dead, end quote, said the king, quote, have someone go and find a yogi who knows what is to be done, end quote. The 500 queens, showing their respect for the Dharma, said, quote, we must invite Padma Gyalpo, end quote. And, quote, Vinasa gives good advice, end quote. So she was sent for. She came, with her beer, into the king's presence. Quote, abandon your caste scruples and drink this beer, end quote, she said. And when the king had drunk, his sufferings were relieved. Quote, I must also bring you water from the depths of the sea, end quote, she told him, and he replied, quote, see that it be done, end quote. Then Vinasa, with the winged feet, went to bring back water from the depths of the sea. When she entered the vast waters, advancing slowly, went walking amid the waves, took water from the watery depths, and returned with it. When, on winged feet and with great effort, she hastened back, the king asked, quote, why do you rush about so much? End quote. Quote, I am bringing you water, end quote, she replied. She served him the water, and the king was healed. When she then told him that she was leaving, the king held her back, asking that she be his teacher. But the vassals grumbled, quote, Indrabhuti talks like a child. A woman of low caste would be a dissolute priestess, end quote. Even the queens began to form evil thoughts. But then Vinasa said, quote, people have their doubts about me, and their tongues are wagging. I am going, end quote. Quote, very well, go, end quote, said the king. Quote, but if you do, you will die, and thus you must stay, or I will cut off your head, end quote. And he did not let her go. The guru thought, I have converted no one here. I will have to manifest a son. So Vinasa magically produced a son and gave him to King Indrabhuti. Where she then went, no one knows. But later on, the child gained fame as Labappa, the Mahasiddha. Of the history, unabridged, of the lives of the Guru of Udayana, Padmasambhava. This is the 48th canto. the plan to convert the region of Udiana. Sealed oaths. Understand, but I will certainly contemplate the imagery. I feel like it's not the sort of thing that you can simply read and go, ah, okay, let me explain this. This means this. It's much more of a poetry that evokes a certain state of consciousness. Anyway, I enjoy it for what it seems to be to me, and I hope that you enjoyed it on whatever level that you enjoyed it as well. And next time we'll be getting back down to earth with some pre-sectarian early Buddhist Vinaya Pitaka discipline, rules of order, the Cholavaga, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. So I hope that you'll join us then, and thank you for being here. Feel free to like and subscribe. And I will go ahead and do our usual closing. To the north and to the south, to the east and to the west, to the spirits of light among us and to the spirits below, we send out our reverent love and compassion. May all beings be happy. May all beings be serene. May all beings be in peace. Until next time.